Blog Talk Radio.
Your time zone, morning, afternoon, evening, whatever it is. Hope it's all good. Anyway, it's Shelly and Chuck's on the Shelly and Chuck Show with my little furball co-host, Jackie Chan Kitty. And what you guys are not witnessing, because it is radio, this cat is driving me crazy right now. She always likes to get my attention. I got to keep a little squirt water pistol here so she behaves, because she likes to gnaw on me while I'm trying to do my show. She's like a little kid. But anyway, I have this awesome guest. I am so super pumped. You people just don't even know. I'm so excited. Actually, I think we need to get adopted or something, this woman that's coming on, because she is just like me, except without the Boston accent, and she doesn't have the dark hair. She's a blonde hair. I swear to God, she's just like me. And just before I bring my guest on, I just wanted to, a quick thing that I'd want to speak about. A few things here to bring up on my Facebook page. Just give me one moment while I refresh. Now, remember, this Saturday, there is an event going on in Maine. It's the 2013 Greater Portland Walk to End Alzheimer's. Now, if you can't make the walk, you can actually donate money. You go to this web address, alz.org/walk. And that's where you can actually, you know, donate money towards this foundation. And it's actually, I mean, it's a bigger foundation, but you can actually, for this Saturday, there's information about the walk there. The next one that I want to speak about is the Sarah Joy Foundation, which is part of our company from the radio show, which a woman that I would like to, you know, call my niece. I've never met her, but I'm pretty sure she would have become close to me, who was actually, you know, she passed away from cancer. And foundation, I mean, they say good things, you know, come out of, like, you know, bad situation and stuff. And this wonderful, wonderful foundation with my big sister, the whole family founded as the Sarah Joy's Foundation. And this is actually for families that actually have members of families that have terminal cancer. It's to help to pay their bills, and it's actually, you know, to maybe for outings. And so far, I know it's helped 4 families already. Next thing here. And we're actually, for a couple of films, Essential Realism, which you guys heard me speak about this once. I'm so super pumped. I've always dreamed of playing a ninja. This Sunday, if you want to check out my Facebook page, they are looking for funds. If you go to my Facebook page, look up Essential Realism, there's about 70 cast members. Oh, my Lord. There's steampunk, pirates, and I'm going to be a ninja donning the Kato costume. So check it out. If you'd like to donate to the film, go there. I'm not taking the funds for it, but just go there and you'll be able to see it. And the last thing I want to talk about, we are still filming for Valkyrie. I'm playing one of the leads of Valkyrie. And if you'd like to actually help fund our film, I'm not taking any donations, but you can actually go to my Facebook page and look up Valkyrie. After St. Frank, A-L-C-Y-Y-R. You can go there, and we are in need of funds. And if you can gladly help us out, it'd be very much appreciated. And believe me, we are doing our own stunts and fights, and we need help with costumes and everything. But anyway, I'm so super pumped. Can you tell I'm starting to sound like Beavis? So I would like to bring special guest. I think I have to call her my sister. I just have that feeling she's like in another lifetime. I feel like we have this bond. Even though she's out there in Hollywood, California, I'm on the wrong side of the United States, ladies and gentlemen. So I have to bring a stunt woman and many other things. She wears many hats out there, and she's, you know, making moves on her own. Let's see if this is her. Hello.
Hello, Shelley. Shelley, my dear. How are you?
I am so pumped right now. I can't even sit still, Melissa.
Oh, my Lord. I am so freaking excited, actually, to have you on the air live from, where are you calling from? From Boston, girl. Is that where you're from?
I'm originally from Boston, but I lived up here in Maine to make some films.
Oh, my God. Oh, Lord. I am so bloody excited. Oh, my God. I think I'm going to pee myself.
Oh, my gosh. You are just like me. I swear, Melissa, I was watching the reels you sent me, and I swear, I think we're actually, we had to be sisters from another lifetime, because your comedy reel, I was peeing my pants. I'm sitting here about 4:30 this morning watching it, and I'm like thinking, I got to get up, but I had to watch your stuff. And I was like, she's crazy, and she's just like me. And I'm just like, yes, girl, I understand about your comedy, because you're like me.
Oh, my God. You know what, girl? I think we better be very careful that the people in the white jackets don't come and get us and take us away.
Yes.
But anyway, yes, I know. Oh, God. I'm from, like, you know, 12 different voices talking all at the same time. I better tell them to go away.
How are you doing, girl?
You join us.
No, it's okay if they talk in your head, but if you start arguing with them, then you get a problem.
What?
Thank you so much for being a guest.
Shelley. I'm so excited. We are sisters. You know, didn't anybody tell you that? Oh, I got to say hi to your cat. Meow, meow. All right. Hopefully she'll behave herself.
You are nuts. I love you. And I'm like, that's it. I have to add you as a sister on my Facebook page tonight. There's no turning back. I'm adopting you. I don't know
I don't want to say age or something. We can talk and discuss a little because I don't know who's big sister, little sister. I might be old. I don't want to give away age because you are sexy. I am telling you, you blew me away. And I'm going, oh, my God, you're acting real. You're acting real. It's just, oh, she's gorgeous. And then when I saw you with the swords, oh, what a beauty. I was like,
yeah, look who's talking. I'll pay you later. I'll send you a check. Look who's talking, girl. You and your shorts and your Kato mask and everything like that. Oh, my God. It's all the behind eyes of the beholder. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. And I'm like,
you know
what?
It's so funny.
Because we've been talking a little more and we've been writing to each other. And I know we don't always have, you know, this is our first opportunity to talk on the phone, but I don't know why. It's like you just kind of meet someone and then you connect. And it's like I feel like this connection with you, and we must have been talking on the internet, but I go, she's doing so much, and you're more advanced as a martial artist, and we can get all into that. And I guess we can start getting right into the interview. Does that sound cool?
Yeah, go for it.
Now, I want to know something. I do have to ask, because there's someone that's closely related to me that's, some of the background, I guess you can say, is like from New Zealand. And I was reading, I was like, I didn't realize this. I thought you were from America, but then I saw on your Facebook page and it said New Zealand.
Right.
Are you from New Zealand?
Okay, so this is what I, and this is a weird thing about Facebook. It says, where did you grow up? I grew up in New Zealand. So this is a whole crazy thing. It's like I was actually, my parents moved back and forth from New York to England a lot when I was growing up. And then what happened was some very close friends or people to me got killed. And my mom's like, you know, my mom's from England. She's like, okay, you know, enough of this. It's too dangerous. I'm taking you out of the country. You know, so she's like, oh, you know, so then we end up going to New Zealand. So that's where, you know, and then thank goodness, you know, I learned, you know, I used to watch my brother playing judo because they wouldn't let girls do martial arts, and I ended up getting put in dance. But, yeah, so thank goodness I did know a little bit of judo because, you know, we ended up fighting a lot in New Zealand. But, you know, that was just, you know, being the white kids and Pākehās and, you know, a majority of, you know, Māori area, you know, we didn't even learn to fight. So, yeah, but, yeah, I did grow up in New Zealand, yeah.
Oh, man. See, that's another connection. You know how, like, you have a connection? Because one of my brothers, my film brothers, the one called Big Brother, he's Maori. I don't know if you ever seen me post a picture. He's got a tattoo on his face.
Oh, that's yes.
Me. So he's actually, one of his heritage is actually Maori. And he was talking about hakas. And I hope I didn't say that wrong. But you know what I'm saying? You probably know.
Yeah,
about that.
No, that's
going,
amazing.
Oh,
that's,
my gosh.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. No, you know what? And one of the things that I kind of got upset when I moved back here, because I was, you know, in New Zealand, they embrace the Maori culture. As a child, you learn about it, you study it, you know, it's, you know, you're surrounded with people that are Maori. So it's like the culture you learn, you know, you learn all about, you know, the culture, how to respect nature, all that kind of stuff, and respect other people. And then when you get here, you don't really learn that much about the American Indians. And I wanted to learn about the folklore stories because there's so much good folklore in New Zealand and really embrace you. You know, you're learning to write and storytell at a very early age. I mean, storytelling and, you know, with Maori culture and then coming up with your own stories is embedded into you. So I think that's another reason why there's so many great storytellers and filmmakers that come out of New Zealand is because of this culture of all of these folklore stories and everything and the school system there where they get you to write and you know, be creative at a very extremely early age of like 5 years old. You're, you know, being told these stories and, you know, being told to make up your own story. So I think, you know, being, you know, brought up in, you know, New Zealand was a really good benefit for me, you know, as a performer and as a filmmaker. But yeah, so
wow, I'm so blown away because this is stuff that I've been learning through my brother, and I'm sitting here, it's like, this is so cool. Why do you have to be on the other side of the United States? I'm like, why? I have such a connection with this awesome woman, and you're sitting there talking about stuff I've been learning in the past couple of years, and I was like, you are cool.
That's one of the things, you know, I got to tell you, because I grew up with doing Maori dancing and traditional Maori dancing and Polynesian dancing, That was one of the things that really, you know, helped me out a lot is all the figure eights, you know, using both hands, doing dancing with both hands, you know, doing the poi balls, doing, you know, the Tahitian dancing with, you know, both hands, telling a story. You know, when you dance, Hawaiian dancing, it's all telling a story, which is very similar to martial arts where you're telling a story with your hands and you know, film fighting, you're always telling a story with your body. So that's really, you know, when I, you know, I saw my, you know, one of my instructors doing Kali, I was like, I can do that. I think I can do that. That's very similar to what I, you know, very similar to poi balls with the figure eights and everything like that. And I picked it up very quickly. So, you know, growing up, and the other thing too, in New Zealand, you know, it's, you know, they've got you running and, you know, I was competing, you know, at 5 years old, I was competing against other schools, you know, the districts, you know, they'd put us on a bus and, you know, we go far away and we compete, you know. So it's like varsity, but it was like in elementary school, you know, swim team. You know, we were all swimming. We all ran. I played this thing called netball, which is like basketball. So, you know, and they don't have problems with ADD and things like that, you know, because, you know, the kids are running around for 2 hours every morning. So, you know, so I was just like, I was very blessed, you know, to grow up there. But, you know, but that was one of the, you know, one of the things that, you know, that really was a strong foundation for what helped me perform. You know, and getting into stunts and everything like that, because you have to be extremely athletic when you're doing action acting and doing stunts and,
yeah,
you know, that stuff. Yeah.
Yes, and how did you get from, like, New Zealand to California, like, out in Hollywood? How old were you when you came to the States?
Yeah, well, I was just getting ready to go into high school, and they didn't like to hire Americans out there. My mom was English, so she was working, and they just didn't like to hire Americans. So, you know, my dad wanted to come back, and, you know, and so we ended up coming back to the States, and, you know, then growing up here, and I ended up going to school in Anaheim. And once again, you know, thank goodness I knew a little bit of judo, you know, because, you know, it's like, it was, you know, it was mostly a Hispanic neighborhood that I moved into. And so, you know, and it's a thing too. When I was in New York, just long enough to get a New York accent. I went to New Zealand, and of course, I never fit in there because here I am, you know, American, and you know, and I'm white, and so everybody's, you know, their, you know, ethnic diversity is kind of a little different. And then of course now I'm there, and then I didn't fit in because when I came back from New Zealand, I totally dressed different, you know, because they had uniforms and things like that, and you know, I was wearing dresses and things, so I didn't, you know, didn't fit in there. And then, you know, I come back and I didn't fit into the States because here I have a New Zealand dialect, you know, that I talked funny and I dressed funny, I looked funny, and, you know, so kids aren't the nicest things. And, you know, and I thought, you know,
yeah,
and here I am trying to learn Spanish because I thought that was really cool, you know, the secret language. And my mom spoke, you know, German and French, and I thought, oh, you know, this is cool to learn Spanish. I was trying to learn Spanish, and, of course, people used to like playing tricks like, you know, oh, go tell that girl over there, you know, two is
no,
looking like a baseball, and, you know, yeah, and then, you know, then I'd go over there, and then the girl would get mad, and then I was like, you know, and then a leg sweeper
no,
fall down, and then it would be like, well, what did I say? And she's like, you said I was crazy in the head. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that, you know. You had to be friends
with
me. Yeah, but it was like, yeah, it was fun. But, you know, that's why it's kind of like I kind of like, you know, at an early age, you kind of learn like, okay, you know, yeah, you got to kind of like stand up to the bullies and just, you know, try and fit in.
How did you, like, I know you say you take a martial arts, how did you transition? Because you do like comedy and something. I mean, what did you get into first? I know you're studying in martial arts, but did you get into
I was a dancer. Yeah, well, see, my mom, see, I have two brothers, and so, you know, it's just like, I loved playing, you know, cops and robbers and army and all that kind of stuff, so
yeah.
I was always, you know, so I was always playing army, and my mom didn't think that was too feminine, so she got me in dance, so I was always a dancer. I was, you know, tap, ballet, Hawaiian dancing, Maori dancing, all that kind of stuff, you know, belly dancing, you know, every kind of dancing there was, I took it. But, you know, so as a dancer, and in New Zealand, one of the things was that they, you know, I was in choir and all that kind of stuff. And so I was like, I did musical theater in New Zealand. And so what happened was, you know, I performed a lot doing musical theaters, different venues and things like that. So when I came back to the States, I loved, one of the things was I loved, you know,
you know, photography and things like that, and really got into photography and really got into, you know, doing my dancing. I always, you know, kept my dancing up, but I had never done straight acting before, just never done straight acting. And I was covering an event. I was head of, you know, as chief photographer of yearbook, you know, and it was, you know, and of course being athletic, I was also on every kind of single like athletic team there was. But so I was taking photos for, they had this thing, they didn't even have a theater department at my high school. They had this thing called Gifted and Talented Theater thing where all the schools got together. It was like eight schools got together and they formed like this little play where everybody, you know, the kids that wanted to do theater could do theater. And I auditioned and this girl said, hey, Melissa, you know, I know you're just taking pictures at this event, but you should go audition. So I auditioned for this play, you know, because she, you know, knew I did musical theater. And I got the lead. And so that's actually, you know, how I transitioned from musical theater into theater. And then from there, it just came, you know, really easy for me. So then from there, I just transitioned into doing theater. And then I met a lot of people that were doing theater and making money at it, you know, on films. And I was like, wow, wait a minute, I can pay my way through college by doing commercials and making money, since, you know, Hollywood was only, you know, about an hour and a half, 2 hours away, you know, by car. So I was like, oh, okay, this is important. So then I started actually, you know, taking classes and things like that for acting for film, so I could actually learn, because it's a lot different, you know, as you know. So I stayed doing theater, and then I stayed doing film. And I was working, my first big thing that I did was I did a thing called Another You, and I worked against Richard Pryor, and I was asked to spill coffee again on him, and just watching him work was so amazing. Yeah, I was really inspired working, you know, right across from him. And
wow, and so, that's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
You got to work with Richard Pryor? How was he working on set? Was he crazy?
It was, you know what, it was really sad, because he was such a talented actor, but he was at that time... He had a disease where he was shaking a lot, and so I was kind of felt bad for him, because I was like, gosh, you know, and I know he really wanted to act and he really wanted to be there, and so his acting partner, and I'm forgetting the gentleman's name, and it will come to me here in a second, but he was yelling the words in his ear, and then Richard Pryor would say the words. But it was like, wow, you know, it was like he really wanted to act and really wanted to be there. So he was there. But I was like, wow, you know, it's like some part of me wanted to just give him a hug and say, you know, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be okay. But I felt really sad for him, because I was just like, you know, I kind of like wished that, you know, maybe he could have relaxed, or, you know, but he was doing what he loved to do, and he was really happy doing it. Mm-hmm. So that was, you know, yeah. And so I kept studying, and I was really good at improv. I was always good at improv. So I did this thing called, they hired me to do Totally Hidden Video. And then every time I did it, I got paid like $600. And I was like, oh, this is fun. You know, so for me as a kid, you know, that was fun. So, and I'm getting paid money. So, you know, it was like, so I kept, so they actually had me go on there and do some improv stuff, and then they kept calling me back and to be play like different characters to play pranks on people. So I went back and forth, like, you know, they had me come on there about 7 times to play different pranks on people. And I was a kid, you know, so I was like, you know, playing different pranks on people and stuff like that, and I was making money, and I was like, okay, this is a good way to make money. So I kept, you know, kept doing it, and then I ended up, you know, doing a lot of, and even back then I was always, you know, I was cast a lot of as a showgirl, and I was kind of like, okay, you know, at that point, you know, since all the kids at school kind of picked on me and made fun of me, I kind of felt like the ugly duckling, and I knew I had this gift for acting, because that's why I was hiding behind the camera, you know, because I was a dancer, right, but then I wasn't, you know, I didn't really, you know, and even the role I played was I was a teacher, you know, so it was not glamorous. And so I was like, okay, I'm an ugly duckling, you know. And so when I played the showgirl, then they put the fake boobs in, and then they put the wig on, and they put the eyelashes, and I look good. And then I'm like, oh, this is such bullshit. I'm actually, you know, I can look good, you know. And then that's when I realized all this Hollywood stuff is a bunch of bullshit, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know,
gorgeous.
the way you look and everything, yeah.
Yeah, you are not an ugly duckling. You are gorgeous. I was like, oh, my gosh. And, like, you kept writing to me, and it's like, man, this is so cool. She's so gorgeous, and she's down to earth. And every time you wrote to me, I go, man, she's just like me. And then you said, she's just like me. And as you talk, you know, the same exact stuff, same exact thing I went through about being the ugly duckling and, you know, about being made fun of and the bullies. And I'm like, did she read my mind? I mean, it's the same stuff. And you talking funny? I talk funny, too.
I know. Kids are cool. And you know, I never told anybody I was acting. I never told anybody, you know, it was my little way to make some money, you know, and that's how I always, you know, it was my little escape. You know, I've always written stories. You know, I wrote my brother a little, you know, I used to write my brother, like little books, like called Mr. Leafy, you know, cause he was younger than me. And so I used to write him like little stories, you know, so I've always, and that was where I went to escape was I wrote, you know, if I have, you know, any emotional thing going on, I would write and then I would dance, you know, and then doing the, you know, the martial arts and things like that. You know, it wasn't until later in life I actually started, you know, really getting into, you know, martial arts, but that's, you know, another way to, you know, express ourselves and things like that. But yeah, so it was, you know, I just think that we're just really blessed, you know, being able to express ourselves. But yeah, girl, so, but yeah, you're beautiful. So that's what's so funny is that, yeah, I mean, it's so funny what happens, you know, what the media puts out there, and then when you find out, all that stuff's been airbrushed, and we always try to be so thin, and I got myself really sick because I was, you know, because of that silly show, it was a miniseries, and I was a showgirl, and, you know, and I got really pissed off because there was people that, like, I was on it for, like, 8 days, so people were calling me and saying, oh, my God, I saw you on TV, oh, my God, I saw you on TV, and I was thinking, God, this is the stupidest thing. There was guys that didn't want anything to do with me, didn't want to talk to me, you know, all this stuff. Now they're calling me up, and I'm like, going, oh, you jerk, you know, I'll forget it. Oh, you know, this is so silly. You know, I'm like, I'm just doing this to make some money to pay my way through college, and you guys are, you know, thinking this is, you know, and then, so that's when I realized that, you know, that's when I realized that a lot of this, you know, stuff, like how the women look and how we're perceived is, you know, like a theater, you know, how we become somebody else and we transition into somebody else. And I feel really grateful that as a woman, I learned that really on, you know, in life, that I knew that, okay, if I want to look this way and I want to present myself this way, I can. And if I want to look this way and I want to present myself that way, I can. I have, you know, it's like I learned that we do have options. But, you know, the silly thing is, and I hope no women do this, is that, you know, I got sucked into the whole thing. Oh, you can make even more money if you, you know, lose weight, and then you can do runway work because you're tall, and if you get down to 115, you know, then you can do runway work and you can make more money. And then I'm like, oh, okay, you know, let me try to do that. And then, you know, I ended up, you know, putting myself in the hospital because, you know, we do stupid stuff like, you know, being 5'9 and going down to 115, and then, you know, you stop being a woman, you know, and your body goes, oh, you can't have babies anymore. And you're like, okay, maybe this isn't so great for me, you know?
I mean, you're gorgeous. So looking at your pictures and the swords and everything, I was like, if those are like recent pictures and stuff, I'm just like, I'm floored because those, you're perfect just the way you are.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know what? I think there's so many women that, you know, it's so funny because I was like trying to do a lingerie line. I was like wanting to, that was one of my goals, is to do like a lingerie line a couple years back. And that's one of the things I did research on was what the average woman was and what kind of advertisements would the average woman be, you know, would like to see. And that was one of the things, is average woman is, you know, a full figured girl, you know. And that's why it's so important that we have people like, you know, Gina Davis, or we have people like the new girl from Hunger Games. I'm forgetting her name, but, you know, she's a full-figure girl. And it's just like, you know, we need to have, you know, good role models for, you know, our girls, you know, as strong women and, you know, having figures and things like that, and stop trying to be, you know, what was that girl's name that was so thin? Tweety or something?
What was her name?
It was like back in the 40s, she was really thin, and it kind of changed. It was like in 1940, and it kind of changed everything from being voluptuous girls, and then they started, it was like Twiggy was her name.
Oh, she was in the 60s, I think, Twiggy or something
60s.
Like that. And
Yeah,
you know how you're talking about getting so thin at a point in my life, and I think you're an inch taller than me? I was 80 pounds. And it was from sickness. I was very sick for a very long time, and I couldn't eat.
Wow.
So, you know, it wasn't done on purpose, but then it's like, you know, I went to doctors and stuff. And my brother Z, who's, you know, metaphysical and stuff, I can write to you more about it later. He really helped me, and I trained in a year in Tai Chi with him. And with what you're saying, you know, everything that you're saying, I've been around people like my brother Z, and, you know, I had a school and stuff, and the film that we're doing, Falcare, you have to look at on my page. We are like four different women that are doing these, you know, different backgrounds, all shapes, different shapes and sizes. What you're saying, it's like, this is exactly what we're trying to show in Falcare. We're trying to get people to help fund it because we need funds for that. And we're doing all stunts, spike things we filmed in the winter.
That's really good. That's what we're doing. I'm glad,
you know, you're here tonight because I've been like, I was like, I want to talk with her so much, and I know you're so busy and stuff, and I'm sitting there going, oh, gosh, I'm just glad that you're on the, you know, with me tonight.
Yeah, no, it's exciting. So, yeah, congratulations, and thank you so much for putting content out there and utilizing women in film, because that's what, I mean, it was one of the reasons why I started doing films. There's a couple different reasons why I went from just performing and just doing acting and doing stunts and stuff like that to doing films was because, you know, myself and a friend of mine were going through a very difficult personal, like, you know, angst. There was, you know, very bad things that were going on with our lives. And it was like when we went and saw, like, you know, Sandra Bullock kicking ass, or we saw Wonder Woman kicking ass, or, you know, then we felt empowered as women ourselves. And I know that's how a lot of guys feel. And you know, even watching, you know, Jackie Chan or Bruce Lee or somebody else, it represents the underdog kicking butt. So when they kick butt, we feel like we can kick butt in our lives, you know.
And you, you know, to get back into because I don't know how much time you have left on the show, but to get back on what we're saying, because I always ramble on. I guess we have so much fun. When you transitioned, you know, into theater and stuff, you know, films. I mean, are you able to talk about? Because I was like, I don't like to bring up things that, you know, people don't want to talk about. But can you say how you got into comedy? Because you got into stand-up comedy, right?
Yeah. I'm writing a film about that whole experience, about why I got into comedy and all that kind of stuff. But I think, you know, doing comedy to me was, I had to do it. It was something that I had to do. It's, you know, as an actor, you're always being told, you know, okay, yeah, you're too tall for this, or you're, you know, not got the right look for this or whatever, or, you know, I mean, it is what it is, that, you know, it is, you go on 20 auditions and you get one role. And that's if you're really good, you'll go on 20 auditions, you get one role. So, you know, you're always going out there and auditioning. So it's always like, okay, you go out there, you get to audition, and then hopefully you get the role, and then you get to do the part, and then you get to see it on the screen. Well, with comedy, you write your stuff, you go up into the audience, you say your stuff, and you get that immediate feedback like theater right away. There's no waiting, you know? And I just had so much really important things to discuss, you know, with comedy. I had to, because I was going, okay, and so I'll just say, I was going through a nasty, you know, divorce. And, you know, and so I just needed, and I was starting to date, and it was like the guys that were asking me out, and the most, and the ridiculousness of what was going on with this new transition, this new butterfly person that I was becoming, that it was like, it was so crazy, you know, so crazy that I had to do comedy about it, because, you know, and I had to also, you know, there's a lot of things I had to discuss, you know, I'm a very righteous person, so, you know, with comedy, it got me a chance to, you know, discuss things, and, you know, and then, you know, I always brought my sword fighting into it. I was on Last Comic Standing. I don't know if you saw that part.
I saw that. Isn't
that crazy?
Yes,
I saw you. I know, it was so crazy. Yeah, I used to do stand-up at the Improv quite a bit. I had this booking agent guy that, you know, was always putting me up so I could work at the Improv. And so I was working at the Improv. And so they called me one day and said, hey, Melissa, you got to get down here. Last Comic Standing's here. And they're, you know, they're giving, you know, interviewing people. And for Last Comic Standing, you got to get down. It'll be great exposure for you. So I was going down. So I always carry my swords in my car. You know, I always have my swords in my car because I'm always training every day. So they said, so I just went in, of course, because I, you know, hadn't really, I discussed, you know, there's a lot of jokes that I have about doing stunts and how you really need to appreciate, you know, your stunt coordinators and things like that, because they'll risk their lives for you, but your boss on your day job will never risk their lives for you, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, I have a lot of stand-up stunt jokes and things like that, because I can't not, because it's what, you know, what I do. So I have a lot of jokes about the industry, a lot of jokes about stunts and things like that. So, and I was always going up on stage when I did stand-up with, like, you know, I'd go up with, you know, on crutches a lot of the time, because I would just be doing a stunt or doing something, and, you know, or just, you know, training. When you train a lot, you end up, you know, I end up pulling muscles and stuff like that. So they had saw me go up on stage with crutches. So I was always kind of explaining, yeah, this is what I did, or that's what I did. So they knew that I had done weapons and swords and things like that. So they're like, oh, go get your swords. You know, and so, yeah, so I ended up, for Last Comic Standing there, I was going, wait, I want to just do my regular stuff, but no, go get your swords. So it was the craziest thing that I ended up doing Last Comic Standing with my swords, and then they called me back, you know, and they're like, can you come back again? And I was like, okay, you know, so then I came back again and did another episode with, you know, going back up with my, you know, the swords. I came back later on the next day, and once again, you know, and then it was kind of like the craziest thing, because there was nobody in the room at the time. There's no host. There's no nothing. It was just a room full of like 80 cameras, you know. And then they said, okay, you do, I heard here, you know, you do voiceovers, you do voices, you do characters. I said, yes. And they said, can we see some of those? And so I'm like, okay, you know. And then I broke into about 8 different characters I do, because I love doing improv. You know, that was one of the things I've always done is improv. And doing characters and doing, you know, sketch comedy and stuff like that. So I always had, you know, I have a whole bunch of characters available. So I started doing a bunch of characters. And so then when it finally aired, I was like, oh my God, they had pieced together they didn't even use any of my stand-up material. They pieced together all my improv bits and they put into this one thing. I'm like, oh my God, I look like a loon. But, you know, it was a great experience and, you know. And I got a lot of work from it. I got a lot of stand-up work from it afterwards. So it was fun, you know. But it's, you know, doing comedy, I think, is really important for any filmmaker. You know, anybody, any filmmaker, any performer, because it really gets you understanding what is the audience thinking. You know, what is the audience, you know, what does the audience think is funny? You know, and then as a performer, it opens you up. Because when it's you up there, you know, by yourself, you know, I don't know, Shelley, you found that too. When you have you done?
I've done stand up, but I'm very hyper. I sound like Beavis when I'm doing stand up, because I'm so my energy is high and people just laugh so much. And it's a true story. When I did some stand up one time, this guy, he was so drunk he fell off his bar stool laughing. And the funny thing is, this girl Becky, who I was doing dinner theater too. I did comedy dinner theater. I got paid for it and stuff, and it was really cool. And she came with her. It was like her first date. This is an honest to God true story. She took her date to my open mic night stand up, and that was the first date with her date that night. Go to find out, a couple years later, she ends up marrying the guy she went on the first date with, and they said their very first date was one of my stand-up, and they said they'll never forget, and they said it was really funny, and I'm like, oh, my craziness brought people together. So
it's great, though, yeah.
Yeah, so, and then what you said about the swords, the other thing, that you are my sister. You got the swords, I got the nunchucks. I am not kidding. When I went to do stand-up, I would have nunchucks with me, and I go to my auditions, I bring my nunchucks just to hold on to, because I'd be so nervous, or, you know, I'm on set and I just mind my business and I'm swinging nunchucks and people are like, what the hell is she doing? And then next thing you know, I got other people holding on to my nunchucks. So you have the sword and I get the nunchucks. I'm like, yep, she's my sister. It's awesome.
I have a bag full of all sorts of toys. If you saw my toys, girl, you'd go crazy. I've got chains and all kinds. I've got knives and
chains?
And sticks.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I got all sorts of goodies. You'd go crazy. I got size. I got all sorts of stuff. Yeah, I went crazy learning. You know, I was like, I wanted everything. But, no, that's great about your nunchucks. That's really cool, girl. You know, yeah, it's a great thing. You know, it's just they always want us to have specialties and things like that, you know, when you're doing stunts and you know, have a specialty, you know, so they know, you know, they can, you know, select you, you know, because then when sometimes they need people that do specialty weapons or, you know, somebody that does fire or something. So you always got to kind of pick your specialty. But, you know, that's really good, girl, to, you know, to have that. So good for you.
Yeah, and you just, I can't even tell you, you just made my whole week. This week was just one of these weeks that just been, like, crazy. But speaking with you tonight is made up for this whole entire week. I'm just telling you, you're better than a cup of coffee. So it's kind of like.
Oh, God, hey, can I use that as a tagline? Melissa Tracy,
yeah.
Better than a cup of coffee.
Yeah, you can. Melissa's better than a cup of coffee. Yeah, she's all no sugar and all that. I'm trying to think else. I know you said you had to go and do, I think, teach something tonight. I was trying to touch base on a couple of things. I mean, I can always have you back on a guest on a show. There was two things. I wanted to know, you know, a couple things that you're working on, and also I'll bring up the second thing, but the first thing is, what are some of the things that you're working on? What are some of the past films you work on?
Yeah. Last year I worked on a project called Vampire. It was a film that I directed. And so that is actually going to be coming out. Next month, in 2 months, it's November 9th, and so that's going to be coming out, and so we can look for that. People can get in touch with me on Twitter, on Blade Girl on Twitter, so kind of keep in touch, or through Facebook, or my website, which is melissatracypictures.weebly.com, and they can register, and I've got a blog now too, kind of letting people know what I'm up to. Melissa Tracy blog, as simple as that. But yeah, so I did last year. I did a film called Vampy. I directed a vampire film, so that you would have loved that. That had fun. It had action, female action fighting, and things like that. So that was a lot of fun. I had. You know, there's a fun thing I do at a Subaru commercial where I was my official title was assistant stunt coordinator, and I helped make up the fight for actually, you know, John Krang, he was the actor on that actually, and I was helping him with working on that, and so that was fun. And then I did stunt and fight choreographed music video called Alfine. For an amazing girl called Leia O'Sullivan, and her producer had produced the Backstreet Boys and everything like that, so it was amazing.
Oh, yes,
yeah, it was amazing.
I've seen that, fine. Yes.
Yeah.
That's the one she, it kind of reminds me of stuff that I'm involved in Valkyrie, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, we're connecting even more, and I'm like, it's just like one of those things. It's like the more I know about you, I'm like, we're doing all the same stuff. I mean, it's a little bit different,
yeah,
but basically,
yeah, the strong
type
woman
of
stuff.
Feel. And it's a beautiful video being done, the horses and like everything, the fights. And I'm just like, it's that same, it's like some of its stuff reminds me of stuff that I'm doing. And it's just how can people see the video? It's on YouTube, right?
Yeah, it's on YouTube. It's under Leo Sullivan. And it's called Alfine, A-L, and then F-I-N-E. Or you can... go to Melissa Tracy blog under my blog. It's under, I just did a big, long, you know, 10-page blog on behind the scenes of doing an action film of the action. Because I wanted people to kind of understand what it takes to do an action film with, you know, the training and the, you know, hiring people and the finding locations and finding the right wranglers, horse wranglers, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's under Melissa Tracy blog. If they want to see it, they can look under there as well. But I also one of the things that I do because we have to survive and make money is because I had always, you know, wanted to do action and fighting and things like that, you know, long time ago, eight years ago, I wanted to produce a film because everybody said, okay, you got to produce a film that you can fight in and you can, you know, act in and do stunts in, because I love doing stunts. And there are certain stunts I wanted to do that I had to have the opportunity to do, like wire work and things like that. So I had put together my own film, And so I learned to produce, and so that way I could put all my martial art training and everything like that to work. So I raised a bunch of money to do that, and during that whole process, I learned how to produce and filmmake, and how to make films and produce. So I keep doing that, and that's kind of like how I got into directing and all that kind of stuff. And so I keep doing that, and because I keep doing that, one of the things I did, just because I had a large film that, you know, I was going to be fighting in, I got to play a Laura Croft character and everything like that. And what happened was the stock market crashed and we lost funding. And then I had an investor that was like, you know, he was like, yeah, well, let's make a film or let's do something. And he had just enough money to make a TV show. So I made a TV show, you know, and, we put together a pilot for this TV show. And now that's one of the things I'm working on, is just getting that on the air. And so that's an adventure show, and I'm waiting right now from Canada to get back to me on that. So, you know, that's just one of the things, you know, you just got to keep going. And that's one of the things I tell anybody that's making a film, you know, and that's one of the things I learned. You know, we learned that with Al Fine. We learned that, you know, I learned that with Best Protection, the film I did a long time ago, and all the films I've made along the way, even with Vampire. We learned that, you know, even the film John and I, we did last year, Kung Fu Fight, we helped a Chinese director put together, I ended up producing it and John stunt coordinating it, there was a film called Kung Fu Fight. And it's like, if you lose a location, or, you know, an actor doesn't show up on set, you know, you just keep going, because, you know, God's got a better plan for you, you know, and that's one of the things, And so you just got to keep going. But, yeah, so those are some of the things I got going on. One of the things, too, is seminars. Because I keep getting asked to do a lot of seminars that people don't have insurance on, they don't have workers' comp insurance on, they're not SAG, they're not properly prepared, they're actually putting the actors at risk and things like that. John Krang and I decided to do some seminars on fighting for filmmakers, you know, film fighting for filmmakers, or action for filmmakers, and then also, and that actually was a big success, and we taped it, so we're going to have those available for people if they need them. And then one of the other things was next, I believe in November as well, yeah, it's going to be in November, we're doing an action actors seminar to assist people that want to, you know, learn more about, you know, the camera angles and things like that they need to know for working, doing action acting and things like that. So, you know, that's something, too, that we're going to be having on. And then I wanted to do something on film finance, because a lot of people ask me, okay, well, how did you get this funded? How did you get that funded? Mm-hmm. And there's new laws coming out for part of the Jobs Act that now, you know, people are allowed to advertise raising money for film. And you are allowed now to have an accountant or a lawyer or a broker set up your LLC. And you can actually have, if an investor's interested, they can submit their paperwork, you know, to your lawyer, and that way you can make sure that, you know, they actually have the money that they say they have and things like that right away, just part of the process, so everybody's protected and, you know, things like that, so.
Wow.
That's good.
That's awesome. It's like, get to learn more for you.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's like, well, that's one of the keys, you know, I think one of the keys to, you know, I kind of did it backwards. I went and I was, you know, I wanted to act so bad and being, you know, tall and things like that. And I did, or worked for a lot of Chinese people, Chinese production companies. Mm-hmm. And that was like one of my first action films, as I worked for a Chinese production company. And there was a female producer. And, you know, and then that's why I was like, wait a minute, you know, women can produce. You know, I didn't even, as a performer, that never even entered my brain that women can produce. And I worked for her. I did, you know, she was a police officer for their film, it was actually a TV show that they kept bringing me back on. And I played a female police officer, and I spoke Chinese and English. And I don't know how to speak Chinese, so I just memorized it verbatim like I would, or like I would like voiceover. And that's when I learned, wait a minute, there are women can produce, and we can make our own films, and we can act in them, and we can produce them, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that, you know. So that's one of the, you know, reasons why I think it's, you know, it's always good to just kind of keep going. But it was that time that I learned, okay, you know, she was telling me how big, you know, the Chinese market was, and she was telling me how important it is to, you know, have a really good studio behind you, a really good investor behind you. you know, really good people behind you that will trust you, and then they'll bring your work forward. And, you know, and then so because I realized, okay, you know, it's not that difficult to get the money, but you have to have something to, you have to be really good at your craft. And that's why I actually took a step backwards, and I spent, you know, a good 2-3 years learning action. I following around the stunt coordinator, you know, learning, you know, all the angles, learning how to film fights, because I had been doing all, I mean, you don't know how many little fights I have filmed and how many films I've done, and I could never get the action to be Hong Kong style. And I really did a lot of research and studying with different fight coordinators and some people to make it look that Hong Kong style, so I'd have something to sell.
So, yeah. You know, like a lot of things from what I'm seeing from the past 10 years of looking at stuff, right? And I see like a lot of films, they have great potentials, and it's like, what I'm learning from everybody, and they said to me, you know, get someone who has the most experience, because, you know, I have some martial arts training a little bit, it's basic skills and capoeira and tai chi, you know, just a little bit here and there. And even with my film, I was going to go with this one guy, but the other guy, I was like, that his name's Anthony, and he was like, he went to stunt school, and he's very talented and stuff, and I'm sitting here going, I think, you know, it's a safety thing, and people, I've seen people that actually, they like a certain look, but they don't have that much experience as the people that have the experience, and I just sit there and go, this film is not going to go anywhere. Because it's like, from what I'm told, whoever has the most experience, it looks a certain thing, but I think for me, to cast more films, it does base upon who has the most experience in the acting and stunts. I mean, maybe that's not how everybody casts. How do you cast the film? How would you go about doing it?
Well, yeah, okay, so, yeah, okay. Well, what we did was, for this last thing that we worked on, when we were hiring I was very blessed because the what I do is a very small community, so you kind of know everybody in the community.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a long time to get in touch with the people that would, you know, that can actually do really good sword fighting and things like that. So I submitted, I had gotten references of who, you know, the best people were for the job and who knew how to film fight. That's the most important thing is that, you know, for us, like you said, the experience and having somebody who knows how to film fight is really important, not just a great martial artist, because somebody that's, you know, doesn't know how to film fight, you know, like you said, the safety, they could actually hit somebody or hurt somebody. And then
mm-hmm.
if you hire a real, yeah, like, you know, I've been on the set where a director brought me onto the set to mentor under him. And, you know, and he had MMA guys, and he was doubling the MMA guys. Because the MMA guys didn't know how to do the reactions, and, you know, and also he said that they weren't, you know, I mean, MMA guys are not, you know, necessarily the safest when it comes to film fighting because they haven't learned it, you know. So it's like, you know, they need to learn film fighting and things like that. So it's like you always need to, you know, no matter what somebody's background is, they're going to have to learn film fighting because, you know, otherwise it's not, you know, it's not the safest, you know, way to go. So what I did was I, you know, it was basically the experience, and then what I had to do was I had to let it go. You know, the director actually made the final decision of which people we were going to use. I submitted to her the most people that I thought, you know, there's 3 people I submitted to her. They're all experienced. They all could have done the job. And she picked the one that she thought best looked like the person that she wanted. But everybody I submitted to her had, you know, had equal, you know, background in sword fighting and film fighting, and, you know, they kind of, you know, I checked out everybody's references, because that's one thing, too, that if, you know, normally, like, if somebody says they're going to do something, like they say they can do some stunt, and then it's always good to make sure that they can by, you know, having them show you or, you know, see the reel or something like that. So if somebody says they can do something, that make sure that they can actually do it. So that's, yeah, so that's how we, you know, we chose, you know, for this last, and that was just last film. Most of the time, like if I'm picking people that I'm going to be working against or if I'm going to be casting for the film that I cast, you know, we a lot of times have to have auditions and things like that. But to me, I'm more, because I know what you can do with hair and makeup, I'm more about the talent because I know we can make anybody look good, and that's male and female.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that we can make people look good with makeup and stuff like that. So, you know, it's like the hair and makeup, you know, we can change appearance so much, that for me it's mostly about, you know, it's mostly about the talent. And sometimes, I mean, there was, on the vampire film, Vampy, we had, you know, the lead, one of the leads did not show up. I mean, I don't know how, you know, very unprofessional, but he just did not show up. And he had another audition, and he thought he could not show up, and he didn't think we'd get around to him until that afternoon. And, you know, and he didn't show up, so we replaced him right away. And it was, thank goodness, because the gentleman that, you know, we replaced him with was, you know, very talented, did not fit the original role. What we thought we were going to have a small, petite guy, and this guy was 6'4", you know, and it was a comedic role. And you know what? This guy was so good at what he did, sang so well, danced so well, that I'm like, you know what? Let's, you know, we're changing the role. Because it worked well. It was so not what we originally wanted, but he was so talented and so good, and, you know, it was just, you know, for me, and that's how I am. I just felt like the talent and, you know, the safety has to come first, and then, you know, you can fix them, you know. But, you know, I know not everybody thinks that way. It's everybody's, you know, a little different.
Yeah, that's because you think just like me. I swear we must have been Siamese twins or something in another life. You're just sitting here talking. It's like a reflection, not a reflection. I don't know the right words for it, but, you know, you're on the other side, and I'm here, and I'm like, man, I wish we had something like out of Star Trek, like a teleporter. So it's like
it's easy to go tap,
and we can hang out and, like, chit-chat and stuff like that. But, well, I was like, you know, maybe we can Skype. You know, that would be kind of cool. I mean,
oh, that's certainly, you know, we should do that. Actually, you can do that on Google, but, yeah. So I just think, girl, that's, I mean, that's what I just feel that, you know, there's so much stuff you can do while just hiring the right people, you know.
Yeah, I'm thankful that, you know, you're on the show time. And what time was, you said you had to teach tonight or something, I think? You had to do something?
In 4 minutes. There's a police officer, actually, that I need to train. I'm going to be training film fighting too. It's like, you know, no matter how good you are, what you do, you still need to learn film fighting.
Yeah.
So he's an actor. He's an actor and a police officer. He knows ninjutsu. You'd love it, girl. You'd love ninjutsu. But he does ninjutsu and things like that, and which is one of the arts that I, one of the martial arts that I train. And he wants
really?
To get
you're
more
a ninja.
Into, I trained. That's my martial. My martial arts is Kali. My Ki martial arts is Kali, and ninjutsu is what, you know, my Ki martial arts, I would say, is what, you know, that's my Ki. And then I do, you know, Sabat and, you know, a lot of other things. But you know, and Wing Chun and a lot of other stuff. But I would say that you know, my Ki martial arts would be, you know, ninjutsu and Kali.
You're a ninja. I can't believe it. You're a ninja. Oh, my God. I love ninjas. Ninjas are so sexy.
Yeah, girl,
ninjas,
you know what?
So
you should, did you search? Did you? Have you really? There's so much really cool female ninjas. There are so many cool female ninja stories, really. I mean, we should really probably get together and do one because I've been meaning to do one for years.
Yes, if I was like, I know I'm like, see, I have to stay in Maine because I'm like, I'm bound to finish Felcare and I want to do my film Dishwasher. And it's like, you know, I do want to get out west, but it's like, I just owe this to Z because he helped me out. And I know I'm staying to the end to finish Felcare. And I know a lot of people, they have opportunities they would drop in a minute. But this is something where I just want to show an honor where I am going to finish this film with him because it's, you know, one of the leads and I would never, you know, just get up, even if people offer me, like, millions of dollars and stuff, I'm going to finish Felcare. And I know that's something,
you know. What? And you need to, because you need to, you know, you got to be loyal and you got to finish it. So, you know, you're going to get it done and, you know, and it will be fun. But, no, I mean, you know, this is a lifetime thing. I mean, I've been making films for a long time. And you just got to realize this is a lifetime thing. You know, there's going to be lots of fun opportunities down the road that I'm sure we're going to be able to work in and things like that. There's so much stuff. I mean, there's also a film called Girl Samurai that I'm working on. That's another film I'm putting together. And I just got sent another, you know, a Chinese warrior woman film. And, you know, so I'm always, and then Athenia, you know, there's so much, you know, there's so many, you know, there's so many really cool warrior women, you know, films. And, but like, you know, doing a ninja film would be great. But, you know, girl, I'm really proud of you. Keep going, you know, that's, you know, keep those dreams alive and just keep going. You know, I'm just really proud of you and your, you know, female, you know, martial artist, and, you know, just keep plugging away. And, you know, and then one of these days I'll have to send you a, we've got a sword maker out here. So it's the coolest thing. This is what all this guy does as a living is he makes swords. And so we'll have to, one of the things you can do is trade out your, you know, if you're going to be using swords on the set, you trade them out for aluminum blades, right? So we're going to have to get you a nice aluminum bladed katana one of these days. I'll have to, like, get one made up and send it out to you. That would be, like, you're cool. Then you can be fighting, you know. You can be a fighting ninja with aluminum bladed stuff.
Yeah, because I did a shoot with a real katana blade. I'm like, man, I got to be careful. I don't want to cut off a toe or something.
I saw that. I was like, oh, my God, she's using a real katana. I was like, you know, it's so funny because I was, like, looking at this photo going, oh, my God, that's not aluminum blade. That's a real thing.
Yeah.
No, I noticed that. I was like, oh, my God, this girl, she is, like, she's a real thing, all right? She's using the real blade, all right?
Yeah, I was
trained,
so nervous,
you know,
because
I was trained, but...
Yeah, it was nervous. Yeah, because the photographer, he knows what he was doing. So I says, I don't want to be, I was like, I know you have to go and teach, but the one thing that I was like, I like about you and, like, you total respect is, like, the things with any type of weapons where I trained with guns, like rifles on a shooting range. I was an archer.
Yeah.
I was in an archery league. I can do, you know, shoot archery and stuff. The thing is that I was like, I know women do whatever they want, but weapons are a serious thing, and I see pictures with women are in sexual positions where they put guns between their legs, they're licking the guns, and they're, like, licking swords and stuff, and I'm going, and it's like, you try to sit there, and it's like, I won't even, like, comment on things, because they'll be like, oh, you're a hater, I go, no, that's not the point. A weapon is a serious thing, and you need to respect it, whether it's a sword or a gun.
That's true, you do, and it's ridiculous, yeah, it's ridiculous, but yeah, we do need to respect it, it's, yeah, we do, because you're right, it is a serious thing, so.
Yeah, and it's like, that's what I'm trying to show more, it's a serious thing, and people are like, oh, you're a hater, or I can do what I want, and I'm like, when they're sticking it between, a gun between their legs, I'm like, are you trying to shoot off your hoo-ha or something like that? It's kind of like, I just don't get it, because growing up, with stuff like that, I just always respected weapons. Just never
you have
phantom
to.
Being stupid.
Yeah, and always
you know
make
I mean?
Sure you get, yeah, make sure, you know, that's why you have to have armor on the set, and that's why, you know, you always have to have the, you know, trade it out for, you know, make sure the prop department is all set and you've got your fake weapons and, you know, all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. But hey, Shelley, I've got to run.
Yeah,
I have a,
I know.
Yeah, a person I've got to train here at JAMS in California, which is a great place to train if anybody's out, you know, this way at JAMS. It's a great place to train. But thanks, Shelley. It's been an honor to be on your show, and good luck with all your projects. My God, you're a busy girl.
Thank you, and you too. Thank you so much for being on my show. I'm going to I'll send this on. As soon as it's done tonight, I will repost it on your wall, okay?
All right. Thanks, girl. And, yeah, if anybody wants to get in touch with me, it's Blade Girl under Twitter. It's a Blade Girl.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Shelley.
Yeah,
keep kicking butt. All right. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, did I not tell you Melissa Tracy was so cool? Oh, my gosh. This woman is awesome. I swear. We must have been Siamese twins or something in another life. I'm just so pumped. Am I going to be able to go to bed? Yeah, I think so, but I feel like Beavis from Beavis and Butthead right now. I'm so super excited. I just can't help feeling this so much excited. But anyway, I wanted to touch base again on a couple of things here. And I have to bring up my Facebook page. There's a couple things going on once again. This Saturday, there's an event happening in Maine. It's the 2013 Greater Portland Walk to End Alzheimer's, and where to donate. I'm not taking the funds. You have to go online to this web address. It's A as in Apple, L as in Larry, Z as in Zebra, .org/walk, and you can donate money there. If you can't make it to the walk in Portland, Maine, you can still donate to Walk to End Alzheimer's. And the other foundation, which is part of the Diamond in the Rough Ordinary Woman show, in my Shelley Kamen Nunchuck show, the Sarah Joy Foundation. which, as you know, I've touched base on it before, and Sarah Joy, I like to consider her a niece, and she passed away about a year ago, I believe, and she was a young mother who left behind a really sweet guy and two children, and I guess she had, I don't know the whole entire story, I think they found a lump in her breast when she was actually pregnant with her child. I think that's when they, you know, found out about it. And I think she decided not to really get treatment so that it wouldn't hurt her unborn child. And I guess shortly after she gave birth, Sarah passed away from cancer. And so out of, like, you know, out of a tragedy comes this beautiful, wonderful Sarah Joy Foundation. And it's the money that you donate. It's for families, for people that, you know, families that have terminal cancer, and it helps, you know, to pay bills, help them with outings. And so far, I don't know if any more families, but so far the Sarah Joy Foundation has helped four families. So I'm trying to help to, you know, grow this too, and I'm glad to be part of it. And so I try to talk about it on my show. On a lighter note here, as you all know, there's a big event for myself happening, and it is a dream come true. This is huge. Sunday, which I cannot wait. I'm playing a ninja, and I am so super pumped. I cannot wait. I can't even tell you. I feel like I'm going to cry because I'm like, the day Sunday comes, I'm going to be like, pinch me. There's about 70 cast members. It's like insane. There's like pirates, steampunk, ninjas, a whole bunch of people. And I guess there's up to 70 cast members for this film. It's called Essential Realism. And I'm playing ninja. And I'm donning the Kato costume. If you guys don't know who Kato is, it's K-A-T-O. It was actually a character by Bruce Lee and the Green Hornet, and there's a couple of the people that actually wore that same costume, like Donnie Yen has worn that costume, and I took a couple pictures of me in the costume, well, part of it, the mask and the hat, and I just can't wait. I'm playing a ninja Sunday. I'm so excited. I feel like a little kid, but no, seriously. I will be taking it very seriously when it comes Sunday. I'm just excited because I know if I'm handling any weapons like nunchucks or anything like that for Sunday, I am going to be careful, and I will respect any weapons, anything I do. I know it's serious stuff. When I'm on, I said I'm very, very serious, and it's Essential Realism, and you can go to my Facebook page, Shelly Kama Nunchucks, and you can go there because they're still, I believe, looking for funds, and there's the page on there. Like I said, it's about 70 people are part of the film. And the other thing that I wanted to bring up that I posted on my page is about the film, once again, which I always talk about, it seems like on every single show. By the way, I have done over 105 shows within the past year. I do not know how I ended up doing that because I counted all the shows, and it's like it's actually more than 105. It was like 108 or something, but I'm just rounding it off. And I do not know how in 1 year I did 105 shows. I don't know what the heck I did, but I did 105 shows. And I'm like, that's my first year. Of course I'm only doing it twice a week, which is Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Standard Eastern Time, Sundays at noon Standard Eastern Time. And once again, you guys can all listen to my show, you know, anytime you want. And I can't believe the guests are going to be coming to my show. I have this lineup, and I'm going to be getting a better phone for the house, so I shall hopefully never drop a signal or call again, so I'm preparing for that. And I'm just very thankful to be able to do the show. And it's like someone had mentioned to me, I don't know if it was Johnny Crane or Douglas Wong, and I'm like forgetful here, but they actually said to follow my bliss. And I found my bliss. It's my radio show. It's something that I'm actually good at. And if you can feel, like, hear my energy, I mean, this is really me. Nothing's scripted. It's just talking. I should have, like, tea and crumpets. Actually, I do have tea. Sometimes I actually have oolong tea. So I got half of it. You know, maybe I should get some crumpets, even though I don't know what they are. Anyway, the other thing that I wanted to talk about is something that's been part of And I'm actually playing one of the characters, one of the lead roles, a Valkyrie. And it's in the film's called Falkyr. It's F as in Frank, A-L-C-Y-Y-R. And we are in need of funds. And if you'd like to be part of that and manifest someone's dream, where Director Z, who, by the way, is going to have his own show next Wednesday night, 8:30 Standard Eastern Time, ZZZ. If you want to ask him questions, just go to his page, Ahura, A-H-U-R-A-Z, you know, Deliza. So you go there. You'll probably find him from my page. Anyway, I posted, like, when don't I post on Facebook? I'm always posting on Facebook. It's my obsession. But I posted, you know, on a show, and you can listen to that next week. And I know people like, you're promoting another show, Shelly, on your night. I think, I don't know if he has a half-hour show, but it's 8:30 Standard Eastern Time next Wednesday. Hey, I can, you know, I can help promote Brother Z. You know, hey, it may be the same night. I just, you know, wish him the best. The man's awesome. He's really cool. As you guys know, Battle Song is a song from our film, Valkyr. What better way to promote Z than on my show? I'm proud. So he's going to have a show on my night. It's still kind of cool because a big brother and little sister having a show. But anyway, I'm getting back to Falkyr. If anybody that would like to donate funds, you can go to the Falkyr page and write to them. I'm not taking donations for Falkyr, but it actually is helping, you know, Z, you know, manifest a dream. It's to show women in a very positive light, to show that, you know, we're different. You know, we're just, you know, from different backgrounds, and my whole Bostonian accent, so it fits in the film, believe me. And the things that we've done for the film, besides chasing this hen, we're filming in the snow up to our knees in Maine. Have I told you how cold it is in the winter in Maine? Oh, my goodness. It's very, very cold up in Maine. And we are in need of funds for Falkyr. And it's something that I hope if anybody wants to donate funds to, you can go there. And also for my film, The Dishwasher, I only need $350 more dollars. So I guess from what I'm trying to learn as I go, I'm trying to learn, and this is my first film, a short film. If anybody can donate $350, it gets me, and I will make you executive producer of my film. And if you can do that, believe me, I can get a hold of my director, my lead actor, and we can start to go to work on it, because I'm praying to God I get it before the winter, because filming out here is so cold. It's like up in the North Pole. I think the cold here, the polar bears couldn't actually handle it. Hey, I think I have a caller. Wait, there's someone in the queue. Hold on for a second, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, calling.
Hello, Shelly.
I'm here.
Hello,
is
Shelly.
Is this Doug
Long? How you doing?
Hey, great. Oh, this is awesome. This is, oh, man, this is a night.
Yeah, I just heard you talking to Melissa. And I was going to try to call in, but she had to take off and go to Jam, which is my son's studio. That's where we work out at. So I was giving a plug on that also. So that was great.
Oh, wow. This is awesome.
Small world,
so
see. We all work together somewhere.
I'm on the wrong side of the United States.
That's it. You got to come out to California.
Yeah, I know. But I'm like, I'm bound to finish the films here. It's like even when people saying, you know, to do things, I think it's to show a little bit of honor because Z, I've posted him on my page before. He's a very honorable man. He's a really, you know, he's a good man. He's got the tattoo on his face, and I think I posted it. And I just owe it to him to finish the film with him. And
right.
It's something, you know, doing another film or something, you know. So anyway, what's up with you?
Not much. I've been doing a bunch of seminars, running all over, you know, just keeping busy. Yeah, a lot of busy. So other than that, I'm doing fine. I've been listening to you when I can. You know, I've just been in and out of town here and there. So I'm getting ready to go down to Mexicali soon and do a seminar down there. I just finished one up in San Diego, and now they have me going to go back east somewhere and do a bunch of stuff back there. So I'm just waiting for them to confirm where I'm going.
Yeah, what I've been seeing, there's this post, and I think Johnny Ray's been posted, and a whole bunch of everybody in the community. There's a film that you're actually doing? And I want to know about it. Can you talk about it?
Well, we haven't put it all together yet. I'm still waiting for it. I have a part in it. I'm going to do a fight scene in there with my wife. She's going to be in it also. So they sort of got me written in as in wheelchair bound, and we'll be going through the forest. They'll be throwing people into my wheelchair, and I'll be taking them out. All kind of different techniques, you know. So that's what I've heard so far. So that's what it is. So we're supposed to start filming next month. So I'm just waiting for that right now.
Oh, man, I've been seeing that because, you know, we're all in the same community. I'm on all these boards, and everybody keeps posting. I was like, this is Douglas. And there's, like, other people I know. And I'm like, this is so cool. It's got to be awesome. If you're in it, it definitely has to be awesome.
Yeah, it's got a lot of good stuff in there. So I'm just waiting for it to put it together and see how it goes.
Cool.
Yep, so, yeah, I was just talking to you. Melissa, we were just together a couple of weeks ago. We were at the History Museum. We had an event down there, the Honor Awards. So she's a great photographer also. She takes a lot of pictures and stuff. So I've been known her for a little while, not that long, but, you know, because I know her and John Crane. So we did a couple of stuff for the Martial Art History Museum. We were book writers, so we did the book fest. We did two of them together. And we're waiting for the new one coming out next year. And we're going to have a bigger event. I think it's at the Holiday Inn this time. So it's going to be something like what we had the event out here called Dragon Fest. And Dragon Fest was bringing all the different actors, martial artists, you know, people together in one place. So we did it for about 10 years out here. But then I was under Jerry Okamura. And he got a little sick and wasn't feeling too well, so he stopped doing the event. But so now I think we're trying to bring it back again. That's Michael Masuda, the president of the Martial Art History Museum. So we're trying to put that together now. So it should work out pretty good. Yeah, a lot of people, a lot of people. We have all kind of actors. We have everybody come out for that one.
Oh, my gosh, I'm on the wrong side, aren't I?
Well, we'll let you know when it happens. You know, you might be able to be closer this way during that time period. Probably won't happen until August or so. So, you know, you got a good 8-9 months before we do it.
Oh, yeah. I'm working very hard to get my radio show syndicated. I keep praying, and I'm trying to make sure I'm even going to get a house phone because I don't want the risk of, you know, making more connections and, you know, dropping my call because it's non-professional, you know. Just talking with people, and I keep praying to God. I says, please do not let my cell phone just, like, die. And I'm like, oh, please. You know, it's just like, please just, like, let it last till Friday.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. So what else have you been up to? I know you said, the seminars and stuff. Any other thing, like the film, anything else?
Well, I'm doing a bunch of things. I can't talk about it yet. My family's been doing a lot.
Douglas, you sit here, you know, I'm doing a lot, but I can't tell you, Shelly. Thanks. Get me all pumped and excited.
Oh, well, yeah. I'll tell you about my daughter and my son, what they're up to. They just came back to just film the Ellen DeGeneres show. They just showed it yesterday. My daughter works for Nick Cannon, so they did a show with him yesterday, so he debuted one of his new songs that he was doing. So she's been doing that. She's been working busy. They're producing another TV show for Nickelodeon. And she just came back from Bora Bora with him because they went there last weekend for about 4 days. So that was beautiful. She loved it there.
Oh.
So she's doing okay. She's just traveling all over. And my son just finished Transformer 4. He just finished it in Chicago last Saturday. And flew out to Atlanta, Georgia. He's going to be the assistant stunt coordinator for Fast and Furious 7.
Really? Oh my gosh! I'm so excited! I'm never going to be able to go to sleep tonight.
Yeah, so he's keeping real busy. So, yeah, that's going to keep him away from home for about 5 months. He's going to try to sneak home on the weekends when he can. But he's doing good. He got called to Transformer 4 three times. So he went to two different cities, went to Detroit and Chicago. And he had his trip to go to Greece to do the hosting for the Red Bull event. He was the MC for that, but he couldn't go because Transformer wanted him back, and then he had another commercial to do also. So he stayed here in the States, so just staying busy. So that's good for him.
Yeah. I saw a little bit, I think, in Transformers 4. I think Mark Wahlberg is actually in it.
Yep, he is. Yep.
Because it's just like it's a really small world. It's like it's so funny that you know we're all like connected, and it's like a very positive people. And this guy that's one of Mark Wahlberg's friends. I don't know if you've heard of him. His name is Henry Nacho, and he was like he eats all these. He has like this restaurant, and it's like he eats all these wasabi balls and Tabasco sauce. And it's so funny because he's like one of Mark Wahlberg's best friends, and he's going to be on my radio show. He's like, I'll be on your show. So we've connected and stuff, and I've talked with him on the phone. I was like, he's really kind of cool and very down to earth. But they had him like they filmed him on the set of Ted, and they're like he's drinking all this Tabasco sauce, and I'm like, I call him Volcano Nacho, and I'm just like, I can't even look at Tabasco sauce. I'm like, oh my god, how do people do that? He was like, I don't know if you've seen the clip of it. Jimmy Kimmel got him on the show. He's drinking three big cups of Tabasco sauce and wasabi balls. And I'm like, how does his head not explode? I'm just ow, that hurts.
That's got to hurt the body somewhere.
Yeah, I'm like,
no,
man,
I couldn't handle that.
No, I can't even. I'm like, I can lick a teaspoon of Tabasco sauce. I'm just like, oh. That's insane.
Definitely. Yep, I love Tabasco sauce, but not that much, no.
Yeah, how do they do that? How does your, butt not explode or something? I mean, I don't want you to be graphic, but, you know, it's like I'd be sitting there. I mean, maybe it'll clean the spackle out of the inside of your system or something. I don't know. It's just like, you know, and... I just can't think. I was like, I'm going to ask him live on the air. I was like, ask him crazy questions.
Yeah.
I'm so glad, you know, you keep in touch. And it's like, I always try to, I have so many people on my Facebook and stuff and try to keep up with everything because I'm always posting. I tell people, if I overpost, just hide my status so you don't overrun your friends and stuff because that's how I promote. I don't try to put it on. My stuff, like tons of stuff on everybody's walls. On my Facebook page, I'm posting stuff over and over again because as like a promoter, that's what you do, like commercials. You do it over and over again, and that's what I do on my Facebook page, and people see that, and it gets their attention to say, oh, this stuff is all gone. Sometimes it's silly, but my show, who's ever my guest, you know, I like to promote over and over again because that's what you're supposed to do, right?
Right, definitely. Got to plug it while you can, that's for sure.
Yeah, at any time, you know, you got stuff you want to talk about or anything, you know, let me know, and I'd love to, like, post it on my wall for you, anything.
Okay, no problem. You know, I send you things once in a while, too, you know. I'm just don't have any too much right now, but, you know, stuff will be coming up soon. So
yeah, and I'm trying to remember if it was you or Johnny Crane, because it's like my brain goes gaga sometimes. It's like, did you say the word bliss or was it Johnny Crane? Someone said for me to follow my bliss.
That might have been Johnny.
Like, who said it? And I'm like, now it's like, I know what my bliss is. And it's like, it's my radio show. This for the first time in my life. I'm good at something. I mean, really good at something, and this is my bliss. And I'm like, who said it? Because I'd like to give him credit for it. And I'm like, I can't remember. He said, follow your bliss. And I'm like, was it Douglas? Was it Johnny? Maybe it was Johnny.
Probably Johnny. I don't use that term, so that leaves me out.
maybe it was Johnny. I'm like, maybe it was him. And I'm like, man, I'm like, I need to go bang my head against him. I was like, Douglas, did you say it?
Yeah, he's a good guy, you know. Supposedly, call him soon. We're supposed to help him with his new book. He wants to interview me for something on there. So I'm not sure what it's all about yet, so I got to give him a call and get together with that. Oh, I might be republishing my book. I have one of my friends, Alan Woodman's going to probably help publish a book for me, or we might be doing a new one. I'm not sure yet, so we're in discussion right now. And I have one of my students just had his book published a couple weeks ago by him, and that's Kenny Perez from Phoenix, Arizona, one of my closed doors disciples. So he's got a book on what's called Wushu, it's Chinese art. And so that just came out on the market, so it's on Amazon now. So he's been trying to get that published a couple of years ago, so I finally hooked him up with my friend Alan, and that was done in less than 2-3 weeks. You know, it was just that quick.
Really? Whoa.
Yeah, he's a good guy. So he has what's called Psychic Publication, so he has that, and his you know, he does the publication of that, magazines and everything else. So he has some great stuff there, a lot of books. So, you know, yeah, check it out. You know, just go on the internet, psychicpublications.com, and you can check out all the new stuff that he has there.
Really? Because I did a short story, and I went to Bookamon to put a story together, and it's a kid's story. And it's I try to have people, like, look at it, and it's about a ferret called the Skeptical Ferret. And it's just this kid, it's like this thing where I actually found the ferret, and it actually came to me. But the story is it's not really that long of a story, but for the ferret to get a name, he has to have a mama find him. And he's searching around, and he goes up to this dog, and everyone wants to call him a rat. And the cat comes across the cat, and the cat goes, "Why eat rats like you?" And he's like, "But my relatives is like the mongoose, like Ricky Tikki Tavi. You know, we fought king cobras and stuff like that." And it's like this cute little story at the end where he meets this mom, and she gives him a name, and they fall in love with each other, and he's happy at the end. So it's kind of like, don't judge a book by its cover, but it's based on a true story.
right. Well, you never know. Like I said, but I'm not sure. He's mainly printing martial art type books, so that storyline, I'm not sure if it's going to fit in his line of business or not. You still can pass it on to him, let him read it, and see, you know, give him an opinion and what he thinks. Maybe he knows some other publisher that prints other type of books. You just never know.
Yeah, it was just the first draft, right? Because it's like Bookamon, you can do it for free, and then they print it out for you. And it's like, it's just to have the idea, you know, to like get it down. It's just like the very first thing, like with anything like scripts, it's like, okay, it's done. It probably needs some work, which I do know, and I just took the idea and put on it, and so, well, now it's there.
Yep, that's it. That's how you have to start, definitely. You know, that's how I first started my books, you know, just scribble it down, writing here, and revise it, add more things, change it around. So, you know, it took a couple years to do, but I got them all out. So I had 4 books put out already. So see if I do a rehash of an old one or make a whole brand new one. Yes, I haven't figured out what I want to do yet.
I can actually send you the link if you send me privately in my Facebook page and email address, because the Bookamon, it has a link where you can actually send it privately to people so they can actually view it. And I was like, I can actually, like, because, like, if you think it's, you know, cute or whatever, it's just supposed to be a children's story, and it's just something I wrote. And if you want to see what it is, I can, you know, send me an email privately, and you see what it's about.
Okay, no problem. So I'll send you a private message, my email, so it's no problem.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
No problem. Then, you know, so good. And then, you know, if it's good, maybe we'll send it over to Alan and see what he thinks, or he might know somebody who does that type of publishing. So, you know, they're always networking with everybody, so I'm sure something might happen.
Oh, thanks. I need some direction. It's just been sitting there, and I'm like, I try to get people to, like, read it just to give me some feedback. And, you know, people are busy, I understand. And it's like, okay, well, maybe someday, and I'll just, I guess I'll just send it to you to see what you, you know, maybe give me an idea or something.
Yeah, I'll look it over. I get so many drafts of books every year from different people, you know, because they know I published books before, you know, had them done. So they want to get different ideas and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'll take a look at it. No problem.
Yeah, it's a Shelley style. You'll be able to say, this is Shelley style. It's just sweet and cute. It's a lovable theme. So.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, you never know. So I hear you're gonna be playing this week, huh, Ninja? So yeah,
yes,
on your Facebook, your Kato mask on the whole bit.
Yes, I cannot wait. It's so crazy because I guess the director, Alan Dingingham, was approached by, like, I guess it was word of mouth, right? Because I'm a fast and crazy, but when I'm on set,
I take it very seriously, you know, being very careful if there's anything, you know, stunts or anything's on set. I always, you know, whatever the director says goes. So
someone,
I guess, gave my name to Alan, and the director approached me and says, you want to play a ninja? And I guess there's about 70 cast members in this, and it's like it's got pirates, steampunk, zombies, and I'm in the set where it's the ninjas. I think there's 8 of us, and I'm the only woman. And I go, you know what? I want to do something because this is the anniversary, you know, the passing of Brandon Lee and Bruce Lee, and I was like, I know it was a ninja, and I says, I don't really have that much money, so I was like, you know, how am I going to get something? So I looked at prices, and I go, how am I going to do this? So I gave up money, like I gave up some meals. I didn't eat for a little while just to get this costume. So I got the costume, and I'm very happy. It's just the top and the mask, and I got another mask because I like the second mask better, and I got the hat, and I'm like, okay, this is me. And I was like, I know I'm not even a percentage like Bruce Lee, but it's the fact is what I'm going to do, I'm dedicating that day to Bruce Lee and Brandon Lee. I mean, I wish I had a photographer. I wanted to do a crow this year out here and do a photo shoot of me dressed up like the crow to honor Brandon Lee. And it's just like, you know, if you don't have the money and you can't get to pay a photographer, it's kind of hard to get someone to come to you, and it's just really hard. And I says, well, this is the opportunity. I'm going to take it, and I know to be careful. Any weapons on set, be very, very careful. You know, listen to everybody on set. So that's what I'm going to do. And then I'm going to have, I guess, a one-on-one fight scene with this girl, Laura. And she's one of the heroes, and I'm playing Neva Ninja. So it's going to be a blast. I'm just excited. And I've worked with her before a little bit on another film, so I know her. And she's really cool and stuff, and she knows about fight choreography from, like, stage and stuff. So I'm working with people that have experience. So I'm very thankful for that. Yeah.
Good. That'd be a fun experience, that's for sure, you know.
Yeah.
Yep. In fact, my wife, I don't know if you got to go see, can't even think of the name of the movie now. She
is this
just
the
finished
G.I.
Doing.
Joe one?
Yeah, G.I. Joe 2. That's it.
I haven't seen
it
yet. Did you say she was on the mountain? Was she swinging on the mountain or something?
No, my son is swinging on the mountain. But she is in the mountainside. She's doing the healing. She's like a shaman, and she does the healing on one of the guys there. And then she has a big fight scene with one of the stars using the staff. And so she's throwing daggers at her and fighting with the staff, and then she gets knocked out. They did a special on the G.I. Joe, too, also on the extra features and stuff. So they did a whole almost 7 minutes of just on her fight scene, how it was set up and everything else like that. So that's in the bonus part. And they told her already that they're bringing back G.I. Joe 3, and they want her to play a bigger role in it. So that's
really
coming up next year.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
That's
you got the
awesome.
Exclusive there.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe if she has time, I have, now it's like I'm trying to get a lineup. I have guests for my show and such. And it's like maybe if she can, if she has time, maybe I can have her as a guest on my show someday.
Yeah, weekdays is hard because she's teaching right now. See, I should be there, but she's there teaching every night. And Sunday is kind of, she's at church. So, you know, the time is not right for her.
Yeah.
Because I know your show is early.
You know, I totally understand because I was like, you know, they says, because last year, I don't know how I did this. I mean, now I'm doing just Wednesday nights and Sunday nights because I get to have a certain time to make sure, you know, if a syndication, a show, it's, you know, permanent. Last year, do not ask me how, in 1 year, I did 100 over, well, I say I rounded it off, but I did over 105 radio shows. I don't know
great.
How I did it. And I'm just like, how the heck in 1 year did I do 105? Because I'm trying to figure, you know, two times, you know, it's just something where if it's twice a week or this and that, I must have did like 15 or something in a month. And I'm like, and people are like, well, that's a little bit much, even though I'm dedicated. So it's just twice a week now.
Well, that's cool. So what time is the show on Sunday? You going to move that time or is it still early in the morning?
It's at noon standard Eastern time. So I think it's 9 a.m. out in California.
Yeah, 9 a.m. here. Yeah, she's already in church by that time period. Yeah, that kills that time period.
Yeah. Well, yeah, since every time, well, she could always call in and say hi, you know, anytime she wants. She can always call in and say hi if she feels like it.
Right. Yeah, that'd be good. Now I'm trying to talk to my son, see if he can get on there and give you a call, surprise you. Maybe do a show with him.
Yeah, because if we're going to talk about ninjas, I'll talk his ear off.
Oh, yeah, he's played plenty of ninja parts, so many, many different TV shows, movies, whatever. So he's done all those, so no problem. So
yeah,
he tells you about all the different weapons and whatnot they do and the type of training and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Now I just got to let him settle down first right now, and then he has a steady schedule, a work schedule, and I'm going to try to see if I can get him on there maybe one of these Wednesday nights when he's free. Plus, he's on East Coast time, so he'll be right along with you guys there. So if he gets off the set early enough, he can give you a call. So we'll see what happens.
Oh, great. Tell him I would appreciate that, because anything to do with ninjas, you know, I'm all for it.
No problem. Yep. So, yeah. I'm not sure he's going to do any more Ninja Company. Well, you know, they may bring him back for G.I. Joe 3 also, but so far it's just my wife they talked to so far, so who knows. So they'll probably use him again. So him and John Cho is a good friend, so he played in his other movie, Step Up 3D. So my son had a role in there, and that's where he met his girlfriend. She was the red hair actress in that one, so they've been going together for a couple years now. But, they're all pretty good friends. And then he had also, I don't know what you call that, webcast, I guess, on Hulu. Yeah, so he did that for about 2 years on there. Then had a third season, but he was often doing other things, so he didn't join the third-year cast. But did a bunch of stuff showing all the different martial arts, all the different dance moves and everything else like that. So, you know, that's what he's known for, is all his dancers, and he puts them all together. And they did some award show not too long ago on the Tony Awards. They did Academy Awards a couple of years ago. They've done all kind of different things. I think it was Think You Can Dance. I think that was on earlier this year, and a few other ones. So, those guys are getting together to do a bunch of things. So, I'll tell them to give you a buzz.
Yeah, anything that, any promotion, if he has some stuff you want to post on my page, because I found his page, but I think it's so overloaded, he can't add any more people, but I've messaged him before on his Facebook page. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got two sites, and they're both loaded, filled up already, so it's crazy. But, I'll try to have him give you a call or something and set up something and see what happens. Connect with you on Facebook, then you guys can discuss times and whatnots and stuff like that.
Yeah, that sounds cool. And I did visit his website, and I was like, I remember him seeing that thing where I think he got flour or something thrown in his face, and I would think it was a ritual.
Right.
Yeah,
that was webcasting. Yeah, that's the one they had on Hulu. That was a series that they had. And, he was playing Johnny Angel, the good guy, and then that one, they turned him into an evil person. He had a new name. I forget the name of that one. But, that was one of the things he did. So they did a lot of crazy stuff in there, martial arts and all the dancing stuff and everything else. But, it was a nice little series. I just haven't followed it for a while. But, he's done quite a bit. You go to his other things, his website. So you saw all his ninja stuff that he did on there? All his.
I think seen something, and it was like, I think I might have tried to find the fight scene. And were they red ninjas on the mountain in G.I. Joe? Were they dressed up in red?
Yep, that's him. He was one of those.
Okay. And I think I've seen that,
If you go to his travis-wong.com, you'll see all that. And he has, because he played Super Ninja also. That's on TV. So he played Yamato, the robot. He also played a bunch of ninja stuff on there. I think he's had about four or five different ninja scenes on there. And Tush, or I guess that's how you pronounce it, T-O-S-H. There's a TV show on there, so he played the ninja on there also. It's fighting the lead of the TV show, and had a fight scene with that. And he's done a bunch of stuff like that. But check it on the internet. All that's on there. Because I know you don't have a TV, but you can get on the internet and check out Travis-Wong.com. And he has his acting real, and the other one is his hosting real. But it's the hosting one, but he does MC for so many different other things. So he has that on there also. So, yeah, check it out. So he's got a lot of stuff on there.
Oh, most definitely I will, especially if it's got to do with ninjas. I definitely will check it out.
Oh, yeah. A lot of stuff. He starts with the ninja with his eyes, his mask on it, and then he ends with it also. So there's a bunch of stuff. It's all action galore, you know, so it's a pretty good reel that he passed together. So I watched some of the other people's stuff. It's cool, but it's not as exciting what he does. You know, he put one together, really something else, so. Yep, so he's editing things now. He's putting stuff together. He has his own YouTube channel and stuff. He has a lot of stuff on there also. So, and he's making a whole new series. I forget the name of his series now that he's got a bunch of his friends working. They're creating some type of new series, and they're bringing up new stuff every week on there. So I just don't have the time to get on YouTube and look at all this stuff. He's keeping busy.
So if Douglas, if people want to like look you up or get in touch with you or at your school and stuff, how can people get in touch with you?
I'm mainly on Facebook now, Douglas Wong. If they want to contact me, email, I'll give them my email. I could care less. I get so many emails a day. Sometimes I'm sitting here looking 100, 150 a day. It's Douglas, WNG. At yahoo.com, so they can contact me there through there, or they can call Jam. So that's if they look under Jam JAM.com, they can reach us through there also. And my martial art website is WhiteLotusKungFu.com. And they can leave messages there also. My wife handles all that over there. But they have bios and stuff in there about all of us, about my wife, my son. And go check that out. That's what you go check it out. White Lotus.
I did see that. Because that's your the White Lotus. Is that the name of your school?
Name of my style, White Lotus Kung Fu. Okay. So that's the name of my style.
Okay. White Lotus Kung Fu. Okay. Because I know sometimes, you know, people, that's what they go by, you know, the school, it depends the name. So is the school underneath your name or?
It's under White Lotus Kung Fu, and we're at JAM. So that's my son's studio. That's Joining All Movements. That's what JAM stands for. So that's where Melissa was going tonight to go train at right now. We have
great.
A 2,000 square foot martial art training area. We have a private dance studio there. We have the full gymnastic floor for them to do all the jumping and twisting and going off of walls, off of blocks, trampoline up there, you know, dive kit and all kind of stuff.
Oh, it sounds like heaven.
Yeah, 10,000 square foot of everything. So we have an exercise room upstairs with equipment and stuff, you know. Treadmills and bikes and benches and all that kind of stuff. So there's always some celebrity working out there. Nick Cannon just started with us about 2 months ago, so my wife's been training him in kung fu and stuff like that. So he's steady. He's always wanted to get there at least trying to once a week to train my wife for a couple hours, so he enjoys it. So he used to do taekwondo when he was younger, and then he got into boxing for quite a few years, and now he wants to try something different. So he really loves the martial arts. So he's back into that stuff now. So he likes the kung fu.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
We always get a bunch of so many different people working out. So all the people from the industry come down there. You know, if they're dancers or break dancers, hip hop dancers. We got all the different martial artists coming down there. We have all the different stunt coordinators bring their people down. Sometimes they shoot short films over there or they practice so they get the angles right and everything. Like James was there a couple months ago. James Liu took all his people down there so they can get it set before they go on the real shoot. And so, you know, we have different people. And like I said, Mark DeCoscos came down, borrowed some of my weapons from down there.
Cynthia
Rothroff would come down. I forget. We got so many people and you know, there's always somebody working there.
You haven't mentioned Mark DeCoscos. Do you know how much I love Mark? I think
buddy.
I've mentioned before. Yes, my capoeira brother. I actually I am not kidding. I would watch, when I was training capoeira, I trained on and off for two or three years.
Uh-huh.
And right before, every time I went, I still have the disc of Only the Strong. And right
yep.
before class, I would play that. And
uh-huh.
and it's like, he is, to me, he's awesome. I think I found his real Facebook page. I think I did. I'm not so sure, but
mm-hmm.
it could be him. I'm not sure. And I just, I not for nothing, but he did an awesome job as the Crow. You know how they
oh,
want to
yeah.
keep wanting to remake the Crow? He's the only person who I think could, you know, the other guys, I'm like Edward Furlong from, like, the Terminator played the Crow
right.
one time. I'm going, oh, no, but Marta Cascos, I'm like, the Crow's one of my favorite films of all time. And when Mark is saying, Shelley, and I'm like, oh, he's coming.
Yeah.
I just get goosebumps. It's like, Mark's
yeah.
just
yeah.
so cool.
Oh, yeah, he's a great actor, you know. So, in fact, James was the stunt coordinator for The Crow when he worked with Mark. So that's why they're good friends, so they worked together on that. So he set up all the fight scenes and everything else on that, when the TV show The Crow. So, yep, that was good. And now Mark
wow.
is working on Hawaiian Five-O.
See, I don't have a TV. And I'm
yeah,
like,
I know.
There's
you're
a bunch of people
that.
On there, and I'm like, I haven't had a TV in 4 years. I go to my
yeah.
brother's house, he has a TV, and we watch great films, but
mm-hmm.
As just got the computer. I was like, I have
yeah.
no idea. I'm so out of the loop, and it ain't even funny. Someday I'll want a TV.
yeah. yeah, sometimes I don't have time to even look at TV. I don't even look at it maybe a couple hours a week if I get a chance. But I'm always on my computer. I'm checking out, you know, some of the old movies, old scenes and all that stuff. I just watched
mm-hmm.
Only the Strong. I just watched that. So
yeah,
that was great. I haven't seen that in so long. So, but, yeah, I watched that a couple times in a row. I said, ah, there it is. That was a great
yeah.
movie. Definitely.
Yeah. Banana
yeah.
way, banana way. Oh.
yeah. Yeah, I took my, we were doing some history museum event, you know, so I'm always at there, but I'm one of the advisors for him. And
mm-hmm.
so we had a dinner party there, and he happened to be there that day, and my son never met him, you know, so I introduced the whole
mm-hmm.
family. I said, yeah, I know Mark since he was a young kid. and so that's about the age my son was during that time when he met him, so they became pretty good friends there too. So that was good, though. Mark's really friendly. I've known his dad for over 40-odd years, so, you know, martial art-wise. So,
yeah.
So we're all good friends, you know. It was good to see him and do things with him and stuff. So, yeah, he also promised my daughter, if she wanted to do anything in New York, that he would take care of her, you know, bring her out in case well, she was going to go into cooking, you know, and stuff like that. And
mm-hmm.
He said, well, yeah, I can get you on the cooking channel. That's no problem. So that was just a couple
oh,
months
yeah,
ago when he
right.
talked to my daughter. Yep.
Yeah,
but he still does that. Yeah, the Iron Chef in America. That's him. He hosts that still.
Yeah, I remember that. I still when I had TV because he was like, he didn't really do martial arts on it, but it was funny because they would show him doing a flip or something in the beginning. I was like,
right.
Rock the Costco's? What the heck is he doing on Iron Chef? And it's like, it's so funny. And it's just, he was like the host in the beginning. And I'm like, that's just strange, but it was kind of cool at the same time.
Yep, definitely. You know, it's a steady job. He said he met a lot of people through that and you know, just keeps him going, you know, besides all his other stuff he's doing. So, yeah, he's very successful, so that's great for him. Yeah.
Oh, and just to give him another, like, little shout-out tomorrow night, I guess, I forget the name of the character he's playing. There's another, it's like season 2 of Mortal Kombat on Machinaya or something like that. And it's like, I'm just like, I hope I can get it. It's like something Machinaya or something, and
right.
it's a new series, and it's starting tomorrow night. And I'm just like,
mm-hmm.
I hope I can get it. I'm like, I'm praying because I just got to see this. What's his name? Carrie. I can't think of the actor's name. I know his face.
Yeah,
I
know.
His name is Carrie.
Tagawa or something. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's in
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he played him in the regular
know,
Mortal Kombat. Yeah.
Yes. And
cool.
then I also, for a split second, I caught him because the EMC Monkeys
uh-huh.
and this guy, Johnny Yang. And I was like, is that
oh, yeah.
Johnny Yang? And I'm like, wait a minute. So I posted on my thing and I tagged Johnny. And he goes, is that you? And he's like clicking. I was like, oh, you're teasing me, aren't you? And it's like he wasn't saying anything, but I caught him and I was like,
that's got to be Johnny Yang. And I was like, stop teasing me. Are you in it? And it's like, because I saw him at the Get Up Rope. I was like, that's Johnny Yang from the EMC Monkeys. And I catch people something, I don't know what it is, or certain things I can catch them in a split second, and I'm half blind. And I'm going, Johnny.
Yeah, new season all coming, so there's so many different shows coming out now, so that's good.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, I can't believe it's almost 11 here. I'm just like, man, what a long day. Thank you, Douglas, for calling in. It's always
no
awesome.
Problem.
You know, just,
yeah, I wanted
you know,
to call
get all of
but, you know, she had to go to work, so no problem. So
yeah.
I thought I'd just call in afterwards to fill in for her while she was gone.
Oh, sweet.
All right, well, you
well,
have a good evening.
So
I'm going to get back on my Facebook and do some things here. I see all kind of email I got to get through. See
all
what's happening.
And if you can send me your email address in,
yeah,
in
I'll
Facebook,
do that.
And then I can send you the
right
booking
now,
on
I'm
link.
Jump on it now. I got you
okay.
pulled up on my Facebook already.
All right. Thank
okay,
you,
Shelly.
Jonathan. You have a nice night.
Okay. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right.
Oh, my gosh. This is... was an awesome, awesome, awesome show. Not only do I have a newfound sister on the other side of the United States, but Douglas Long called in. You people do know who he is, right? Oh, if you don't know who Douglas is, you just got to know that he's been on my show a few times. Come on now. Yes, he's so awesome. And it's like, yeah, you know, it's just this is just great. I'm on the wrong side of the United States here. I really, really am. I wish we had something. You can't, I like the teleporter from like Star Trek. In this day and age, we can't have a teleporter and snap your fingers and I'm there on the other side where California is. Someday. But it's kind of cool that it's like all in this circle. And I can you feel my energy, people? Can you feel my energy? I mean, I'm just so excited about all these cool people that I'm now working with, and I'm so thankful. I found my bliss. Well, anyway, it's been a long, long day for Shelly Nunchucks, and I don't think I will be doing a show on Sunday. If I did, it would be earlier, but I don't think I will be doing that because I will be playing a ninja on Sunday, so I probably will be posting a couple of shows on my page Sunday. And, you know, out there, anybody that has a dream, if you have a dream, just remember, you're as good as anybody else. All you got to do is start somewhere, and you can do it just like me because I'm living proof. I'm a Bostonian underdog. Hey, come on. I talk funny. I'm whacked out of my head. You know, you got to just try. And if you fall back down, you rise up like a phoenix and you try something else. But anyway, it was great. It was real. I'm exhausted. Need to go to bed, but... everyone, thank you for tuning in, and have a good night.